testing the wealth of farmers.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer or mobile device instantly streamed by Netflix to save you time, money, and hassle. Free 30-day trial now at netflix.com/APM.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Senate passed a $500 billion five-year farm bill last night on a vote of 66 to 27. It now goes to the House. The Senate package makes a big change to the government's crop insurance program. In it, there's a new test for how wealthy a farmer is, so the more upscale families in the agriculture business would get a smaller subsidy. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
Right now, if you're a farmer and you buy crop insurance, the government pays about 60% of your premium, no matter how much money you make. The Senate bill says if you have adjusted gross income over $750,000, the government will chop your crop insurance subsidy by 15%. Scott Faber is a lobbyist with the Environmental Working Group.
And it starts to apply the same sorts of limits to crop insurance subsidies that we have traditionally applied to other farm subsidies.
Harwood Schaefer is a farm policy researcher at the University of Tennessee. He worries the means testing could lead some farmers to go without insurance.
So, yeah, there are people that are big enough and have enough assets to carry them through. And at some level, they will go bare.
Or Schaefer says they could decide not to shake off their insurance coverage and reorganize their farms so they fall below the $750,000 income limit. There's nothing in the Senate bill to prevent that. And by the way, there's no means testing at all in the farm bill being considered by the House. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
The federal watchdog called the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has a new report today warning that opting into your bank's overdraft protection could leave you paying higher fees and make your account more prone to being shut down. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
Like a slasher movie villain, an old banking boogeyman just won't die. Tom Feltner is with Consumer Federation of America.
We can see fees as high as $35, even for a $2, $3 cup of coffee.
That's right, the $38 latte lives and still haunts our pocketbooks. You hand over your card to the barista, not knowing your account only has a dollar left. Later, the bank nails you with a hefty overdraft fee. You may have thought this villain was vanquished in 2010 when new banking rules went into effect. Not quite. Banks can still charge the fees. They just have to get you to opt in.
What is marketed as overdraft protection can, in some instances, put consumers at greater risk of harm.
CFPB Director Rich Cordray says fees and policies vary widely among banks, meaning some consumers end up paying way more. So shop around, read the fine print, and keep track of your balance, or else that $38 latte will terrorize your bank account. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
Careers in science, technology, engineering, and math are supposed to be the place for good jobs, if only you had the advanced degree. But a new report from Brookings says half the available STEM jobs are open to people who don't have a college degree, and they pay, on average, $53,000 a year. Brookings counts healthcare, some types of construction, manufacturing, installation, and repair as part of the innovation industries, calling it the hidden STEM economy.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. Streamed now by Netflix, a great value. Netflix Streaming has lots of movie and television options, including past seasons of House of Cards, Breaking Bad, and Arrested Development. Watch them using Netflix Instant Streaming and find thousands of other TV series and movies during your free 30-day trial at netflix.com/APM.
All this week, our special report is called Consumed, looking at whether we can afford the consumer economy. Before we can figure that out, we need to know how we got here. It may have a lot to do with the quest for profits sooner rather than later. It's an article of faith that businesses exist to maximize what's called shareholder value. Shareholders are, after all, the owners. But Lynn Stout, distinguished professor of corporate and business law at Cornell, says there's a big problem with that. Dr. Stout, good morning.
Good morning, David.
Now, we're taught that capitalism is all about shareholder value. What's wrong with a fierce focus on just that?
This is a kind of new idea that was actually invented by professors. Historically, it's not, in fact, been what capitalism is all about. It's pretty new. And what we're seeing is that it's actually not working out very well because it encourages companies to focus relentlessly on the short term.
What happens to, for instance, consumers when the focus is on shareholder value in a narrow sense?
Two bad things. The first thing that happens is that when managers are focusing on share price, it's very hard for companies to actually be innovative. Instead, they focus on gimmicks and marketing and things that can get short-term profits. The second problem that short-termism poses for consumers is that, obviously, when companies are trying to cut costs, what's going to happen is they're not going to invest in their employees, they're not going to invest in customer support, they're not going to invest in improving their products the way they should if they actually want to generate good customer service and good products.
What happens, though, if somehow we could change the culture and businesses would take a longer-term view? What comes of that?
Well, I think we could expect, among other things, not only that corporations will perform better for their customers, for the nation, and for their employees, but they're going to do better for their shareholders. The life expectancy of a Fortune 500 company has declined from 75 years back at the beginning of the century to less than 15 years today. And I think that's a pretty obvious symptom of what happens when you're pressuring managers to try and get that share price up at all costs, even if it means taking on enormous risks and not planning for the future. It's that ability to make long-term plans and investments that ultimately produces very good returns.
Lynn Stout is author of The Shareholder Value Myth, How Putting Shareholders First Harms Investors, Corporations, and the Public. Professor Stout, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, David.
Later today, Marketplace and Consumed. Take a look at something we've all experienced but may not have examined closely. It's called the upsell. You know, when you go in to buy a AA battery and they try to sell you a whole house multi-zone audio system or something. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.